Welcome to the Mormon to Medium podcast, where we'll talk about spirituality, the paranormal, religion, and my journey going from Mormon to medium. I'm Nanette Ride. Thanks for listening. Now let's go have some fun. Don't be afraid.
So I actually pushed the record button. So we're not going to record like five takes and then have to do it again.
Thank goodness. We are your hosts, Brad and Nan.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome. We hope you had a wonderful week. We had a loss that happened in our family. And so we're going to talk about death and grief today.
Yeah. And I know this is a topic that we've covered in the past, but it's something that continuously pops up. And I think it's of a lot of value. It seems like anytime something like that happens, it's really a mortality check and one of those things where you go, I've got to really embrace those I love.
Yeah, it makes you really kind of snap out of, you know, the day-to-day blindness that we have. Guys, reach out to people that you haven't talked to in a long time. You know, let people know that you love them. Forgiveness is a big deal.
Yeah, it really is. It's one of those things you don't want to lose a loved one if you've had a strained relationship anyway.
Right.
I think that would be such a horrible loss.
And you know, so many times with my clients, I have seen them be in that space where there's forgiveness that needs to take place in order for healing to take place on both sides of the veil. And it's really hard to try to heal something like that after someone's gone. So do it while they're alive. It might be hard. But let people know you love them. Let people know that they matter, because we are not promised one more moment. Not one.
No, not at all.
Life is fragile.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what happened?
So I had someone that I grew up with since a small child. I grew up with his kids. I'm really, really close to a couple of his kids. And one of them listens to our show, and we're pretty close. We're like brother and sister. So shout out to Clint. But his dad passed away. And the weird thing is we were just wrapping our head around that. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, got a text that my sister-in-law passed away. And she was 49, wasn't even 50. And she passed in her sleep. We have no idea what the reasoning is behind her death, just very, very sudden and just shocking, because she's so young and was doing really good and their family was super happy. Everything was great. And
it was almost like she said, 50, I don't think so.
Yeah, I ain't doing 50. You know, Christy would do it on her own. Yeah, she would go out on her own terms for sure. So anyway, it's hard. I feel really, really bad for her husband, my brother, and their kids. She's going to leave a huge void in our family. And she's a really, really good person, very spiritual, and just a hard blow.
Yeah. Well, she was such a good mom. She was very involved in everything her boys did, which was amazing. And when you talk about her being spiritual, she helped you through some really tough times when you lost Corey, didn't she?
Yeah. She was really, really close to the spirit. And when I finally got to get to Corey's body after it came back from the medical examiner, see, it had been a couple of days and I hadn't seen him yet. They had taken him into the mortuary and his body wasn't in great shape yet. Like, he had parts of him that weren't put back together, and people were saying, yeah, she can't see him like this. And Christy was there, and she came over to me and she says, I can see Corey. And he said that you need to go in, that you're supposed to go in. I'm like, you can see him. She's like, yes. And you're supposed to go in. He's right here. You need to go in and see your husband. And I was like, okay. But like everybody else was telling me that I couldn't see Corey and that he was in such bad shape because he had a couple of bullet holes and all the things. And yeah. Really, really rough. But she kind of stopped that merry-go-round for a second for me so that I could actually, I mean, at the time I had the paramedics working on me. My heart was in AFib and really, really hard. I was freaking out, you know, physically and emotionally and yeah, the whole thing. She's an amazing lady. And she gave me my secret to my cranberry sauce. One Thanksgiving, she brought it and I stole her Tupperware bowl. It's one of the two things in my life that I've stole. I stole an Oscar Mayer wiener necklace when I was a little girl. An Oscar Mayer wiener necklace. It's the whistle necklaces.
So it's just like the movie.
Yeah. But no, this one was made out of gold. So it was really fancy. But I stole it from my friend and I still feel guilty. But I gave it back. And then I stole Christy's bowl of cranberry sauce.
So you stole a fancy wiener whistle.
Yes.
And cranberry sauce.
Yes, those are the two things in my whole life that I've stolen. And I have just beat myself up. I've gone to Christy so many times. I've given her back her bowl and filled it full of delicious stuff. And I'm like, I'm sorry I'm such a loser, but that cranberry sauce was so good. And she just laughed. But we use it every single year. We have it every year.
That's true.
And we will continue to honor her and remember her. And God, it just sucks. I can't believe she's gone. Like, how? Like,
But is she gone, Nan?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people say that. She's physically gone. Well, a lot of people say that and they're like, they're gone. They're just gone.
Well, I remember right after Corey was killed, walking around going like, no, we've been married for 18 years. He can't just be gone. And I wouldn't swallow that. It was like, no, show me how I get a hold of him. Show me how I talk to him. I'm not buying this bullshit. And you know, I was pretty insistent and Spirit showed me. And no, Christy's not gone. I told my brother today when I was talking to him, I'm like, you know, she's not going to leave you. You know, she's going to always be around you and the boys. And he goes, Nan, I 100% believe that. And he goes, I know that. He's like, I just need to live an honorable life and have my boys live an honorable life. And this is like, my brother is the best guy, like golden heart, just good guy. Just go with the flow. It's going to be a rough one for a little bit for him. But if y'all could send lots of prayers.
Yeah.
That would be really, really appreciated.
Absolutely. That would be helpful. And, you know, Nan, what is it when someone's going through something like this that they really need? I mean, how do you approach it? It's so hard to talk to someone who has lost a loved one like that, especially a spouse. What do you say?
You know, I think you ask them what they need. Ask them if there's something that you can do. Most of the time, they're going to just be numb and they're going to need to be in their own silence of their mind and with their family. The last thing that they need is a million people, you know, shaking up their world. But, you know, some people might want that. So make sure you ask, see what they need. They definitely will forget to eat. So bring them meals, bring them lots of goodies.
Is that why everyone always shows up with food?
I think that's just the Mormon thing to do. And it makes people feel better. Food always makes people feel better. But honestly, when you've lost someone, your brain disconnects from your stomach and you just forget to eat. You forget to take care of yourself because you're in such grief and turmoil. And you need somebody to be like, here, come sit right here and just eat this. And 99% of the time, you're not going to remember what you ate or what it tastes like or anything. But it's literally just getting sustenance in there.
Yeah. So when you went through this, I don't even know how to approach this. What does it feel like? What's going through you emotionally? And what are you thinking?
Well, I think you're scared and you're wondering how you're going to proceed from this point. You know, how do you pick up the pieces of your life that you planned on having that you don't get to have now? And how do you pay your bills? You know, how do you get kids to and from things that they need to go to when you're always traveling or working? Or, I mean, you know, you've traveled for work. How would you handle it if you had a little kid at home that you still had to take care of and you counted on your wife to do that? It would be really an adjustment. You kind of count on the people that are around you, count on people that are in the family mm-hmm. that can step up and be like, hey, I can pick things up from here, or I can help you pay your bills here, or I can do your grocery shopping, or the family's always going to need food brought in at least for a couple of weeks.
You know, I think that's a really interesting point because it's some of those little mundane things that you might not have been very involved with, because spouses tend to pick up different responsibilities within a household. So if one spouse is the one who always paid the bills and did the budgeting, the other spouse might not know what's going on with that. And what about like accounts and passwords and All of those things.
All of those things. Yeah, it's so important. Before anything happens in your family, have a local place, like a binder that has all of those things in it. Safety deposit box, keys in one place. Life insurance policies in one place. So if something happens, you can just grab that binder and be like, okay, here's my accounts, here's my passwords, here's my keys, here's my bills. Like, here's what we have coming in and where it's coming from. All that information would be so helpful.
Yeah.
If you lose a spouse. And I didn't. I was so blessed with a banker that knew our bills really well and knew how Corey handled things. And so she literally took my bills for 6 months because my brain didn't even enter my body again for a while.
That was so kind.
So, so kind. And by then it was, you know, not so scary. And it was all automated by then because she made sure it was. And things were paid off, so we didn't have as many bills. And yeah. But it's just so important to have those things organized and in one area that you both know that it's at. Hint, hint.
Yeah. I was just going to say that is definitely something we want to do because I haven't really even considered that. But if something happened to me, you wouldn't even know where to go to access half this stuff.
Exactly. And it kind of hits you hard today too, because my brother and my sister-in-law are your age.
Yeah.
And I'm 7 years older than you. So you're.
Yeah. It's really like I said at the beginning, it's a mortality check. You look at it and you go, wow, that could be me. That could be Nan. That could be anyone I love. You really just don't even know when your time is done.
No, no. And you know, I know hindsight's always 20/20, but, you're never going to get to the other side and be like, you know what? I should have worked 2 more hours today. Or I should have worked an extra day. You're going to be like, I am so dang glad that I took that cruise and we created those memories.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm so glad I took that day off and we went in the mountains with our puppy or whatever it is, you know, create those memories and make sure that you have them. You know, money is just money. And I know a lot of people worry about money, especially now. But you can create money and money just comes, but those memories and people don't. But hard subject.
It really is. And I'm sorry. I kind of veer off a little bit because one of my mechanisms to cope with sorrow and heavy situations is humor. I joke and make light of things.
I know you mooned me a couple of times from the kitchen today.
I didn't even think you noticed. You didn't
I
even react.
I so noticed. I'm used to it.
And it was more just like, you know, the pants just kind of slipped down.
Whatever.
I'm losing a little bit of weight and they just don't
fit. Your pants are a little big on you.
That they used to. But thank you for acknowledging. I appreciate that.
I'm never going to miss a chance at that. Sorry, I should laugh louder. I will laugh really loud next time.
Thank you. Just so I know.
Notice.
Yeah, I just need to know.
Hey, I made you cowboy cookies. Get over yourself.
You did make me great cookies. It was awesome. She's like, hey, what should I make for you since you're going out of town? I'm like, well, hello, make me some cookies. She was awesome. She was all on it. Because the area I'm going doesn't really have great restaurants. So I'm like, I don't know what I'm even going to eat other than like Arby's.
Gross.
It's not gross.
It is if that's all there is to eat. Gross.
There are a couple of places, but nothing spectacular.
You're not going to be out there that long this week anyway.
No. It's a quick trip. Out and back, and I'll be home just in the right amount of time.
Yeah. After Corey was killed, we had the opportunity, because of our charity that Brad and I had, to meet with a lot of fallen officers' families. And we saw how many of them would grieve. You know, some of them apart from each other, some of them together. And there's one thing, if I could change the way we grieved in our family, I felt like I had to be strong for everybody, everyone, not just my family, but literally everyone. And it was like I had to be strong at all costs, you know? Mm-hmm. Somehow I would be dishonoring Corey if I wasn't. But then my kids were thinking the same thing. So we were all going to our corners and crying in private. But together, we would be brave for each other so that we didn't bring each other down. And my advice would be, you've got to grieve together. Come together, talk together, cry together, be together. because you'll still buoy each other up and your love will be stronger and you won't grow apart. You'll grow stronger together.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. And I think you'll still have your opportunity to go and have your own private sorrow. But yes. When you share, everyone understands it's okay to be a little vulnerable and it's okay to be sad.
Well, and so many people think that it's a bad thing to be vulnerable and to, you know, to feel sorrow. There are so many stages of grief, so many stages. Like, you're going to be numb, and then you're going to be mad, and then you're going to, yeah, all, it's so many of them, and none of them are wrong, and there's no wrong way to grieve. There's no order that it has to go in or anything, and if somebody tells you just to get over it, or they're so glad you got over it, you don't ever get over it. The end. You don't. You learn to live with it beside you, and some days are shittier than others. But I promise you, if you can learn to quiet your mind and still your heart and feel your loved one with you, it makes it a lot more wrapped in love.
How can you turn that grief into gratitude?
I think it's a process, really. It's a process of realizing that the pain from your grief is directly related to how much you love the person. And you know, when it's a spouse and you've built a whole life together and you've made a future that you want together, and then all of a sudden it's ripped out of your hands. It's like, now what? Like what? Like, where does this leave me? And then you're no longer defined by you and your spouse. You're not a thing together. So you have to stand there and rebuild you. And as you rebuild you, you learn to love you. And I think that grief is a gift in that aspect, because you learn to love the other person that you've lost so much more. You learn to love yourself more, and then you see other people through different eyes. So it's a whole perspective shift. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see that.
So grief really is, it's shitty. It's really shitty. But it's also such a sweet gift, a bittersweet gift, because it challenges you to get in touch with your spiritual side. And it's only then that you find peace.
So you've been able to work with a lot of people who have been through grief in your practice.
Yes.
What types of things do you do to help them function and to work through this and to move forward?
Well, I think that there's a stigma around death and around spirits, you know, and ghosts and all those things. Like, oh no, my loved one's gone for forever, because, you know, that's what religion teaches us. But in reality, energy is energy, and energy only changes form. It never disappears. So when someone dies, their energy, the sparkle that makes them them, their energy, the stuff that I balance and that helps heal the body, right? That energy passes to another dimension, but it still interacts with the people that they love back and forth, because time and space don't exist on the other side. So they can come and go as they need to. They can visit other people as they need to. And being quiet in your mind and in your heart is just so key. And when you're very freshly grieving, I would never want someone to give that up in order to talk to their loved one, right? Because the price of love is your grief, and you need to process that. You need to feel it like a cool shower washing over you. You have to feel it. And once you're done feeling it, then you can get serious about getting quiet and being like, okay, so-and-so, come into my energy, let me feel you, and start to get quiet with your mind. But when it's so fresh, it takes a minute, and you have to be patient with yourself. I have had spirit teach me with some of my clients that we're talking just days out, a week out. My clients, the big thing that they want is just to talk to their loved one, to feel them. And it's they're like, that's why I'm coming to you, you know. And I'll tell them all the things, and it's all correct. But then they're like, but I want to feel them. I want to hear them. And I have learned on some, if I get permission from spirit and it tells me, I can push my energy around that person and they can feel them and they can hear them. And sometimes they can see them. They can hold hands with them and have conversations with them. But it's me sharing my energy with them so that they have the opportunity, because they have a storm in their own grief, right? But at one point, I asked a client of mine who was going through the same thing. Right before this person was starting to talk to her loved one, I said, where is your brain right now? What's it doing? And she's like, it's doing nothing. And I said, this is the frequency that you're going to find him at. And she's like, got it. But you can't explain that unless you get there. And right. then you're like, I'm literally, and when they say it's the void, it's literally the void. You're at nothing. You're not feeling anything. You're like, I say you're just floating in darkness in the universe up above the earth, just in stars. You're just floating. And that's where they talk to you because there's nothing going on. It's awesome. It's totally awesome.
Yeah. You're not thinking about 20,000 things that are holding you down here.
No. And your vibration has to be high. It can't mm-hmm. be a low vibration. And grief is a lower vibration. So you have to release it and then rise above. And it's really hard when you're so seeped in your sorrow. And it's okay to be sorrowful. It's okay to be sad.
Well, like you said, you have to feel it. And yes. then you can start moving forward after you've actually felt it. But I think a lot of people, it sucks. So people push it away and go, okay, I'll fake it till I make it. I'll just pretend to everyone that I'm okay.
But you're never okay. You will have to face it. There is no faking it till you make it, because you're never going to make it until you face it. And you face it straight on and you feel it and then you release it. And then you start to work on your spirituality, and that's where the golden nugget is at. That's where you have a different relationship with that person that you just lost.
Got it. That makes so much sense though.
It's really a beautiful thing, but it's really hard to get through that first little bit, you know? It sucks. And my heart goes out to anyone that is suffering with sorrow and grief and sadness because they've lost someone that they love so much. But there's another end of it, and there's so much love. And your loved one isn't gone. They're right with you. Look for the signs in those early days of your sorrow. Ask them to even send you signs. Send me orange butterflies. Send me, you know, feathers. Send me pennies. Send me 50-cent pieces. They'll come. They will come. Send me music. I mean, you can ask for it and they will send them, because they can still hear you. You may not be able to hear them because you're not the right frequency, but they can still hear you.
That's a pretty amazing gift. Absolutely an amazing gift. So Nan, if somebody wants to work with you, if they're going through a situation that involves deep grief like this and they want to work with you, what do they need to do to get a hold of you?
You can reach out on social media, or you can reach out on our email at info@themormonmediumpodcast.com, or you can click on the link in the show notes to get to my calendar, and you can schedule a time that works best for you.
That's awesome, because I know that you've been a big help for a lot of people. I mean, having been through it and been able to have the spiritual experiences you have is such a big deal.
We're all going to experience death in one way or another in this lifetime. We're just going to. There's no way to avoid it. But going into it, knowing the tools that you need, you know, like the binder full of all of the things, all the information, so you're not stressed out if something happens. Be prepared. Talk about hard things. And have those policies so that you're not stuck in a really, really rotten place.
Yeah.
And reach out to people. Don't feel like you have to go through grief and sorrow on your own, because you don't. You're so very loved on both sides of the veil, so you don't have to be alone.
That's amazing advice. Nan, would you like to draw a card for our listeners who might be feeling some grief?
Yeah, so I am drawn to my shamanic deck. Okay, so I drew just one card from my shamanic deck, and it has three parts to it. So it's not like a normal tarot deck. It has an essence of what the card means. It has an invitation and a medicine. If it's flipped upside down, it's the medicine, but it was flipped straight up, so there's an invitation. The rattle is a spirit caller, which is interesting. Carrying the shaman's prayer to the four directions. The body of the rattle is like the earth spinning on the axis. With the aid of the rattle, the medicine woman instills a desired destiny in her future, closing with a prayer. Great spirit, may your will be done.
Interesting that when we are talking about grief, something that addresses communicating with the other side directly comes out.
Yeah, may your will be done.
Yep. And I think on that, that's the perfect way to finish up today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And if you're going through deep grief, we love you. You're not alone. You've got this shit. I promise.
You may not have it today, but you'll have it tomorrow or the next day, but you're never alone. You guys have a blessed week. Send lots of prayers to all those that are suffering. We send our prayers of comfort and angels out to all those that are as well. You guys have a blessed week, and we love you, and we'll see you
on the other side of the veil.